The following is a rebroadcast of Straight Talk About Money. The market data in this rebroadcast is not current and should not be used for any financial decisions.
Allegedly, he's retired. He's considered a serial entrepreneur. He's also
they never retire.
Yeah, exactly. The co-author of the book, The Startup Owner's Manual, Bob Dorf, is actually teaches customer development and business modeling in semester and week-long classes at Columbia Business School. And he is an adjunct professor of entrepreneurship. And, you know, we know, all of us out there have thought, oh, gosh, if I could just be my own boss, come up with a great idea. Well, there are many ways to succeed at this, and then there are also ways that you're just going to go down in flames. But joining us today to give us some really true insight into entrepreneurship and how you can move it to the next level is Bob Dorf. Thank you, Bob, for joining us on the show today.
Pleasure to be with you.
So, I want to ask a question. I mean, Do you see entrepreneurship increasing in America? What's interesting is that I know that there are several business schools around the country now that not only have entrepreneurship courses, but they have entrepreneurship degrees. We have one at the University of Houston. I know Babson College is another one. I'm sure there are dozens other ones, but there seems to be an increased interest in being an entrepreneur.
Well, there's tremendous increased interest, no question, and by our count, in the United States alone, more than 400 universities are teaching entrepreneurship courses. And as you say, quite a few, including Columbia, have concentrations or majors in the subject. But I fear that entrepreneurship is the sort of hot career of choice to some degree for the wrong reasons. When I left a really good job, actually, in radio as a news editor at WINS New York to start a business in 1972, pretty much everybody was sure I was certifiably insane, including my working-class parents who wanted to get me in front of a psychiatrist that they were offering to pay for. How could you leave a good job to start a business? Are you out of your mind? You know, most of my friends would agree that I am, but... Unfortunately, what's happening today, there are probably as many wannabe or wannapreneurs as entrepreneurs, people who would rather say when they meet someone, well, I'm doing a startup. It's much more exciting than I'm looking for work or I'm the number two barista at my local Starbucks. And sort of the underemployment of the millennial generation and the Y generation, I think, has far too many people who aren't genetically or genuine entrepreneurs involved in the startup world, which makes it far more challenging for really passionate, dedicated entrepreneurs with truly innovative ideas. So my hope is as the economy improves, there'll be fewer entrepreneurs, actually, which will clear the playing field, if you will, for the people who understand that entrepreneurship is not a lifestyle choice. It's a, I'm going to work every possible hour I can stay awake. I'm going to have business meetings with myself in the shower in the morning and when I'm brushing my teeth at night. And usually I'm brushing my teeth somewhere after midnight, showering somewhere before six, because the, you know, one of the absolutely vital ingredients of successful entrepreneurship is just relentless hard work and passion. And too many entrepreneurs that I see today don't really have that.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I've had those business meetings in the shower a lot. So I completely understand.
Well, the good thing about those meetings is you're always right.
Well, I don't know if I'm always right. I sometimes leave that shower thinking, what have I gotten myself into? In fact, I remember when I first started the company 21 years ago, somebody handed me a book that was entitled When Friday Is It Payday. And just that title alone really caught my attention. Yeah. But what are some of the elements that you really need if you want a successful startup, if you want a successful career as an entrepreneur? There's got to be some basic things that you've got to cover.
Well, have we got 2 hours? But I think the headlines of what an entrepreneur needs in addition to passion and relentless sort of pursuit of the prize, so to speak. The way we look at it and the way the methodology I've worked on for 6 years now with Steve Blank, the most legendary sort of entrepreneur methodology guy on the planet, is every successful business starts because it's solving a serious, frequent, painful problem or filling a frequent, urgent need. If it's just a nice to have, it's probably almost certain not to be a successful business. It's got to be something that a sort of obvious or targetable group of customers are going to want again and again and again, or you have a very nice startup, but not a sustainable business for the long term. And so we encourage people, before they come up with their idea or before they crystallize it, to go out and really explore where is this problem on people's list of things to worry about. Because if you're not on somebody's top five or maybe top 10, you're just not going to make the cut, and they're not going to engage with your company or buy your service or your product. And most entrepreneurs skip that very critical first step because they fall in love with their idea without worrying about whether the customer is going to fall in love with their idea.
You know, Bob, we see every Friday night, one of my favorite shows to watch is Shark Tank, and you see these people come in there with, you know, just these, they've come up with what they think is, you know, just the best new thing and everything. What is the biggest mistake that someone would make if they were trying to come up with a startup? And do you have any examples of some, you know, some people that you've worked with? You've been doing this for 30 years. So
45, not every, counting. Yeah.
Yeah, but not everything's a home run. Not everything's a home run. And then, you know, what happens when it does fail?
Well, unfortunately, most of the time, the failure results from forgetting customers too far down the road. In other words, focusing first sometimes for 6 months or 9 months or a year on building the product. Well, I know people are going to want this, without really engaging with people and getting their feedback on, well, is this interesting? Are you going to sell it in a place where I'd like to find it? Does the price seem reasonable? What existing products solve this problem today? And sort of the focus of our teaching all over the world is, while you're building the product, at the same time, sort of in parallel, focus on many of those other issues that turn a product into a company, right? A product is itself is not a company. It needs distribution partners. It needs a way to methodology to get customers cost effectively.
Okay, Bob, if we can ask you to hold that thought, we'll be right back on Straight Talk Money.
The following is a rebroadcast of Straight Talk About Money. The market data in this rebroadcast is not current and should not be used for any financial decisions.
Welcome back, folks. We're having an outstanding day on the market. The markets right now are up almost 200 points. We continue to hold those levels. We're likely to sell off as the day goes on, but hopefully we'll be in the green for the remainder of the day. Led by Nike. Nike's up 8 points this morning, came out with some outstanding earnings. And the second quarter GDP was revised up to 3.9% from 3.7%. And Janet Yellen was a little more hawkish last night in her speech. So all of those things, plus positive markets around the world, have led us to a solid green opening this morning. We've got a great show for you with today. We've got Bob Dorf with us. Bob is an allegedly retired serial entrepreneur and co-author of the book, The Startup Owner's Manual, which, Bob, when you wrote the book, it was, I understand it's 608 pages. I guess you were trying to see if you could match Ulysses, right?
Well, actually, the funny thing is that the Startup Owner's Manual tries to address every single step in the incredibly complex process of turning an idea into a business. And it's based on a methodology developed in the year 2000, 2001 by serial entrepreneur Steve Blank, who I actually, he was actually a client of my, his eighth startup was a client of my seventh startup back in the 90s. And Steve's original methodology had four sort of core steps to it. And when we got to page 608, we had only finished step two of four. And we said, my gosh, if we're going to add steps three and four to this book, we better put wheels on the bottom of the thing so people can carry it around. And we found that really startups, you know, ideas are truly a dime a dozen. And, you know, for example, in the if you go to the App Store looking for a recipe management app, there are 85 of them as of last year. How does number 86 stand out from that crowd and ever hope to get a customer, particularly when 92% of all the apps downloaded on the App Store are free apps? That's not really a great business opportunity. And so focusing people on adjusting, tuning their idea from that original brilliant idea as early in the process as possible, before they've built the product, before they've finished doing the coding and the software development, is so critical to increasing the chances for success. And so the focus of those first two steps is all about getting the business model right, not just what's the product and what are the features and what colors are going to be, but where am I going to sell it? How am I going to compare myself to the other 85 competitors? And why should a customer buy mine or consider buying mine instead of any of the others? And entrepreneurs love to skip all of this hard, you know, brute force kind of work of getting out in the field early and getting, basically getting their head beat in by customers. Because we sort of know, if you do a startup, you are guaranteed to have your mother buy one of whatever it is you make. But that's not a business, right? And how do you find, you know, thousands of people who are willing to come to your website and think about your idea? And then how do you cost efficiently convert them from lookers to buyers? It's excruciatingly hard, and the statistics would suggest that for startups that are trying to grow big, you know, software companies, websites, things like that, that are trying to get to a substantial valuation, call it $100 million in 5 or 7 years, usually 2 in 1,000 will get there. So it's an awful lot of dead bodies along the way to, you know, significant success. And when I teach startups, I remind the entrepreneurs, this is a commitment of 20,000 hours of your life. 80 hours a week, 5 years is more or less the minimum required commitment to say to yourself, I gave this startup everything I could give it. And before you sign that contract with yourself to make that kind of a commitment and, you know, say goodbye to all your friends, boyfriends, girlfriends, dogs, sports activities, don't you want to be working on something that has a chance to be really great?
What about funding? Where should people start? Where, you know, because that's one of the big things. You come up with a great idea, but you got to have the money to back it up.
Right. Well, funding is one of the great challenges, certainly, and it's made worse by this sort of clutter of entrepreneurs that we've been seeing the last, call it, 5 years. And my theory on funding is, first of all, if you focus on building a great company, the funding comes easily or relatively easily. But if you need to buy time to do that, you want to avoid talking to professional investors for as long as you possibly can, because they love their tremendous waste of time. They never want to say no, just in case maybe you've invented Google. They don't want to be the ones who said no to Google. So they say, go back and do this spreadsheet and analyze this and make 10 visits doing that and then come back and see me again. And so the entrepreneurs drop everything because they think they have a hot fish on the line, and they stop focusing on building their business. And then they go back with whatever documents they were asked to prepare, and they get the, okay, well, come see us in 6 months. And so step one is to commit your own money, which investors like to see. Step two is typically friends and family who will either make you a loan or make an early investment. But the other emerging sort of tool for entrepreneurs is the relatively new area of crowdfunding. Websites like Kickstarter and Indiegogo that allow you to sell, you know, product before it's done. I'm building this new, you know, anti-gravity machine. It will be ready for shipment in January. Buy one today in September for only X. And it generates some amounts of cash that can be used to sort of jumpstart the company.
There are other options
like the Small Business Administration Loan Program, but basically those are typically making a personal loan to you. In other words, it's, you know, sign over your house, your firstborn, and your car, and we'll lend you some money to build your startup. And many entrepreneurs don't have the necessary assets to get bank financing or SBA financing.
Okay, Bob, we're almost out of time. You're going to be in Houston next week, and you're going to be in the Woodlands speaking to the Woodlands Preparatory School. Let's give them the details.
Well, I'm very excited to be at the Woodlands next Wednesday, Thursday. They are launching a very bold, innovative program to bring entrepreneurship to the secondary and high school levels of Woodlands Prep. And really, we're not expecting students to build great businesses. We want to teach them many of the life skills that entrepreneurs need, how to look people in the eye and how to get information out of them, how to make a sales call, how to solve problems. These are very basic building, you know, skills that are important at every level, and driving it down to the middle school, even the elementary school level over time is a wonderful thing. And Woodlands is one of a handful of schools bold enough to be doing this at that level.
Well, Texas is looking forward to having you. And thank you, by the way, so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Really grateful you've taken the time.
You have been listening to a rebroadcast of Straight Talk About Money. The market data in this rebroadcast is not current and should not be used for any financial decisions.